So sometimes we play this game called Chances Of. And it was, if we're walking down the street and someone drives out of their driveway, you go, chances of someone coming out of their driveway just as we're walking, you know. Well, I guess pretty good.
How long you guys been together?
Yeah, I know. Ran out of things to talk about.
I always remember when I was traveling somewhere and we sat next to this. He was obviously, he was probably around our age with a younger wife, like a 50-year-old with a 30-year-old.
Yeah.
And he goes, we're from Australia too. We just got married and we're just doing a top five albums. And I'm thinking, you're on your honeymoon and you're at that stage already.
It is a worry. Long silence has run out of things to talk about. Excuse me.
Chances of.
Yeah, go on. What were you going to say?
You don't have COVID, do you? You're coughing there.
Gee, I hope not. Hello to all our friends out there, by the way. Especially in Victoria, who are doing it hard, but doing it well, holding their heads high. So Alex and Romy, my stepdaughter and her partner, are moving house, so I thought I'd go around there and help them clean their windows, moving into the new place, go around there, because I've got my Karcher, clean the windows, and I've got the special stuff in the liquid. We lose the top of the liquid, of the detergent, put it in the boot, it falls over into a towel. So I go home. Yeah. Can you guess what happened?
I can't guess what happened, but I assume that it soaps out your boot, does it? Or
what? Not worse. I thought, just throw that in the washing machine, I got a soap ball, like a foam ball, which shut the machine down. The Miele, don't mess with the Miele. I've shut the Miele down.
Top of the range.
That's going to cost you $300 just to get a bloke to come out. And speaking of chances of, my brother is a white goods repairman.
Oh, I know.
It's pretty good.
Neil? Is it Neil?
Phil lives down at Anglesey, and if you are in that area and you need a good man to fix your white goods, if you're in the is that Bellarine? I guess is that Bellarine? No, Bellarine's
that's a surf coast.
It's a surf coast. Bit of an ad there for him. So I went, hang on, I'll just ring him. I mean, and so I rang him, and he goes, oh yeah. He laughs like it's a common problem. I'm going, what do I do? Because the machine cannot. It just stopped. You couldn't open, couldn't close it, couldn't do anything.
Goes, too much soap.
Too much soap. So I put the phone down on the laundry floor, lined it up towards the thing. And it, you know in the movies when, you know, the pilots died and someone has to fly the plane? Well, he did that with me with the washing machine. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to open that door there. I want you to see that little lever. Now pull that lever there. That's going to flush it out for you. And now you can open the door. So I could open the door. I could get to the suds. And then he did something really magical. He did a somehow related. This is a great thing to remember. He said, okay, now we're going to close it back up again. There's still plenty of suds in there that we couldn't get out. He said, I want you to start it on a normal cycle and open up the powder tray. And as it's going into its normal cycle, I want you to get some full cream milk.
Wow.
And pour it into the machine.
Chances are you wouldn't have full cream milk at your house because it's all almond and might be light 1.1 milk or something. Where'd you get full cream milk from?
Selena might have been a full cream with her tea, I think. But yeah, you're right. I've got oat. We've got oat. I'm big on the oat milk in the oat coffee.
Don't put your oat waste in there.
As a friend of mine said the other day, did you say you wanted a goat latte? No. Oat latte.
Oat.
So, yeah, we had some full cream. I poured it in. It was like kryptonite to the suds. As soon as he said, watch what happens now, pour it in and the suds just magically disappear. He said, now let the cycle run and then run it on another cycle and the job is done. So
that's a great tip.
It's a really good tip. You've just got to make sure that you pour it into the as it's going, and it was quite a bit. It wasn't a little bit. It was probably about a third of a litre. And, of course, you don't want to – you got to wash it out afterwards because can you imagine –
smells.
I mean, milk – you know the indigenous people say that we stink of milk? That's what we smell like?
Oh, you know the Viet Cong always said they could smell the American and Australian troops coming because of the milk.
Yeah. We're just full of milk. We're full of off milk.
And, chock full.
Yeah, so if you've got milk in your washing machine and you put your clothes through, they're not going to come out, you know, light and fresh and dandy, are they? Lemon fresh.
If you were back in the 70s in Vietnam, you're the first one shot with that.
Yeah. How did you get him? Oh, like I could just smell a big bottle of milk over there. I just went bang, you know, and got him. So that's tip of the week one. And tip of the week two, this is, you know, when you get to the, when you've been in, you know, lockdown for some time, and of course being in from Melbourne, we're in stage four, which means we can't leave the house 5 kilometres, blah, blah, blah. I decided to do the hardest job in the house, which is, I think, cleaning the soap scum off the shower screens, off the shower.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Yep.
And you want to know tip of the week?
Well, how do you do that?
Get your pens out. Lemon juice.
Oh.
Lemon juice, yeah. I reckon it got 85% of it off. It didn't get all of it off.
Lemon juice?
Lemon juice, because it cuts it. And then you follow it up with a bit of Windex. It would still, because what I did initially was I wiped it. All I did was wipe it all over the place. It didn't come off. I just spread it everywhere.
So, can I just say, welcome to Glenn Robbins, Martha Stewart.
Well, I'm happy if I've got something. Because the reality is, if you're having a problem, just Google it. Just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Google and YouTube videos have replaced parents because back in the day, didn't know how to change a fuse or change a washer. You'd ring up dad.
Yeah.
And now people are just YouTubing it. They're the new parents.
Yeah.
It's sad. Yeah. But it's funny because you talk about your brother talking you over the phone. I had that experience too the other day when my oven door fell off.
Oh. So you rang your dad? Who'd you ring?
No, I rang Robert, the oven technician. I don't know if my dad would. My dad's very handy, but I don't know if he'd know about this because it's quite specific. And Robert has been to our house before quite a few times. We've had a lot of problems with this stupid oven. And so I'd already stuck the outside. He talked me through that because the outside glass kind of came away.
Oh, that's dangerous, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I solved that. I fixed that up with glue that I got from Bunnings. And then the other day I opened the door and the inside glass sheet was sliding into the oven. And a screw had come out. The frame had sort of collapsed. So I had to ring up Robert. And then he talked me through over the phone how to take the door off, fix it up, and then put it back on. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. And he's like this. David, you're doing well, mate. He's talking me up. He's like, you know, you're doing well. You're doing very well, very well. And then you can hear his son in the background. What's going on? Because his son's also an oven technician. It's David from Clifton Hill. His oven door has come off. And then they're having a conversation about me as I'm trying to do it.
Yeah, because when I was doing it with Phil, Jenny, his wife, walked in and explains, oh, Glenn's got a foam ball. He's got a foam ball. And Jenny goes, oh, no, not a foam ball. And I'm going, oh, God, it's just like the, oh, yeah, oh, that's terrible. You know, you just feel
really bad. A foam ball.
I think it's a foam ball or a sud ball or something. And it's the worst thing you can have. But anyway.
You owe Phil now. And so if he's got a joke problem, he has to ring you up. Glenn, I was telling you this joke. I was trying to tell this joke down the pub and I can't get it right.
Well,
and you can talk him through it. Well, what you got to do?
I don't know. I reckon my brothers are probably funnier than me. You know, I've just been getting away with it. I've been brave enough to show my ass on television, make a bit of money out of it, and those guys are the really funny guys. But anyway,
well, as my mum always says, Mark, my middle brother, mum always says he's the really funny one.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Anyway, coming up is a podcast with Mark and Phil. Stay tuned. When we come back from the music, they'll be here.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to Somehow Related. There you go. Well, you've learned how to... You've learned... Look, if we were to stop the podcast right now, you would say, well, that's... I've learned about lemon and your shower recess. I've learned about foam balls and full cream.
Hang on, is that Glenn or Phil speaking?
Oh, no. Well, I can't tell you. It's just...
Well, I bet you his voice, my brother's voice does sound like my voice too. So we do.
Yeah, my brother, Neil, and I sound similar. But when you finish a job that someone else has helped you basically do 99%, do you still walk past going, I did that? Or do you go, that's me, that's my work there? What do you say to yourself?
Well, even my partner, who we've been together a long time, was impressed that I fixed the door.
Oh, well.
Because literally it looked like some, pre-COVID, you would have definitely called Robert. You would have just left it and gone, I can't do it. But because a screw had fallen out, that had gone. The frame
you must
had
have
fallen
a lot of
apart.
A lot of problems with your oven because you've got to go. I mean, I have never had an oven man, so you obviously you know he's.
I use it a lot. Use it a lot. Yeah,
you do. Maybe you could get a new oven.
Yeah, definitely going to get. You know what I used to love? When we moved houses, we got the new European-made oven, and it's been a piece of junk. What I used to love was the in my other house, I had an upright chef.
Yeah, oh, right? Nice. Yep.
Four-burner. Yep. Four burners is all you need. I'm not doing dinner parties.
Yeah.
And it had a separate grill, which I absolutely loved. And I remember having an argument with a guy in the appliance center about me wanting a separate grill, and he goes, "No, you don't need a separate grill. They don't have them anymore. You don't want a separate grill." I'm like, "Well, what if I want to grill my sausages and cook my potatoes?" "No, you get a barbecue for that." I said, "I don't have a barbecue." "You don't have separate grills." He was sort of looking around at the other cell. He wants a separate grill.
Hey, say what you said to me. Say to him, "I want a separate grill."
Oh, this bloke's from 1978. He wants to, grill.
But have you not seen in, and I hope I'm not inappropriate here, but in the Jewish houses, they have two ovens. They have a kosher oven and a normal oven. Now, what's the deal there? Is that for cooking for yourself and for other religious?
Is it separating the milk and the bread? The milk and the meat? Isn't it separating the dairy and the meat?
But they have two little ovens.
They have two sinks.
They have two sinks as well.
Yeah, yeah. Serious houses do. Yeah, they separate the. Oh, we'll get it wrong. It's the dairy and the meat, I believe. But it's like when you go around to one of your friends' houses and they're Italian or Greek or some sort of European, we'll just say, they often have a kitchen in the garage where mum cooks because they don't like the smells in the house. They do all the serious cooking out in the garage.
Well, but what about new houses now? They have things called a butler pantry. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Butler pantry. You haven't got a butler. And are you having wedding receptions here? Do you really need a second kitchen behind your other kitchen?
No.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
so
it's
you
crazy.
Walk out into this area where you can go prepare things out of sight. It's like having a theatre room. It's just ridiculous. Anyway.
We should get our topics.
Yes. Sorry. We're doing Talkback Radio. Give us a call.
What's ridiculous with Phil and Mark?
Okay.
What other topics, Sam? Go on.
Carrots and Holland.
Wow. Yeah, again, I think Sam was listening in our conversation. She said, "I'm going to try and summon something up." We were talking about food. We were talking about Europe.
Yeah, she's good.
She's done Holland and carrots.
Do you ever have that thing, though, when you are, I reckon I'm even thinking about something and then I Google half the word and the whole thing comes up. You go, did you listen to what I was saying?
Well, people say the phones are listening into us. Yeah, if you believe stuff like that.
I reckon they listen to me going, "Oh, Jesus. Boring. He's talking about a golf game. He's talking about...
they listen to you looking at the phone going, "Oh, my God, look at that. Oh, gee.
Oh, dear. How do you get a soap ball out of a...
Soap ball.
Okay, carrots.
Well, it's like the time my son asked me to Google Brazil for a project on the Olympics, and that was not a good thing to Google in front of him. Brazil.
Dad, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why did you turn it off for all of a sudden? What's going on?
It doesn't look like a forest. Anyway.
Carrots. Carrots. Let's start
carrots.
With carrots.
I love. Let's just say.
Do you love carrots? Let's just say if I gave you a choice between a cooked and a raw, you'd go... Carrots is one of the ingredients of coleslaw, yeah?
Beautiful in coleslaw. Beautiful.
So would you have grated carrot in a sandwich?
Yes.
I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't be going to carrot. Mm. It would be. Oh, okay, that's interesting.
You know, they did. I remember they gave us this example when I worked in radio. Nova Perth did talk back for an hour. Do you have grated carrot in a salad sandwich? And
it would have gone nuts.
It would have gone nuts, but the manager maintained that it was not interesting. And there's a fair point where you do get to, what can you say about grated carrot in a sandwich? Yes or no?
You know why it's not good? Here's why it's not good. Because it's not attached to anything. And you take your sandwich off, 180 degrees. You go on an angle and your grated carrot's going to fall out into your lap if you're in the car. The amount of times I put stuff in my lap of my in the car, it's not good. So your cheese is connected, your ham's connected, your lettuce is connected, your tomato's kind of, it's going to hang in. Tomato slice is vulnerable. It will tend to, you look at the tomato and it's like a jailbreak. You're going, "Hey, buddy, I can see you. You're trying to get out. No, I'm going to slide you back in there and make you part of the deal."
And where's avocado stuck? They're stuck. They're
stuck
on the bread.
Yeah,
on the bread.
Yeah, so they're okay. So I reckon, but you sprinkle some carrot in there. It doesn't know where to go. It's got no dance partner.
You know what else is like that? Onions, a little bit like that. Because often, if I think of what I find on my shirt after I've eaten a salad sandwich, it's carrot and onion, I reckon. You're right. Rarely tomato, never lettuce, unless it's shredded lettuce.
Even beetroot can be sneaky. Beetroot can dribble on you, but it won't. It'll probably go, like, you know what, I'm hanging in here, especially
You're very vigilant about beetroot, I reckon. You're just like...
Oh, that's very true, because you're going, if there's going to be a problem, there's going to be a big problem if a bit of beetroot slides down into my pants, you know.
Is there nothing better than like a chicken and salad sandwich, or just a salad sandwich with cheese? Oh,
it is.
Love it.
I think what you're saying, it could be if you're on death row and they were doing it before lunch, would you have a chicken
sandwich? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So
chicken and salad sandwich. And you know what? I don't want any of that fake chicken. You know when you go to a cafe and they've got that sort of weird fake chicken?
They have a big bag of it. And they put they've got the gloves on. They go into the baggie going, not that stuff. I want the real deal sliced breast chicken.
Yeah. Or bits of chicken. I'm not fussy. It could be a form of roast chicken that's been pulled apart, but I don't want that fake chicken. Carrots.
Okay.
How do you like to have a carrot?
Well, I would say roasted with a bit of honey. I reckon the roast potatoes probably be my number one on the plate.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, they just get, as we said before, when all the vegetables get together and all the party turns up, a roast potato would walk in and everyone could go quiet because they know that he's the king of the roast. They're just going to get, go on.
I would put pumpkin after that too. They're the queen.
Pumpkin. Yeah. That's
carrots, the prince. Carrot's the prince.
Yeah, carrot, roasted carrot. Yeah. And would you go, now, is a baby carrot a real thing or is it just a carrot that hasn't grown up yet?
Well, you seem to get them in bunches.
I seem to remember reading something about where someone had some carrots that weren't growing very big, weren't fully growing. He went, hang on, why don't I just call them baby carrots? And they became a thing. Because I think a baby carrot is just a normal carrot that has been pulled out of the ground quite early. Well, it doesn't look like it's a hybrid or it's some sort of that. Having bred it with something small.
Have you ever had mashed carrots?
Oh, that's a good point.
Beautiful.
Maybe mashed carrot with something. Why am I hearing parsnip and carrot? Is it? No, I'm thinking.
Possibly.
Oh, okay.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I had a mashed carrot in a restaurant once and I'd never had mashed carrot before. It was so good. I've tried to replicate it. I can't get it right.
Would that be a bit of butter, a bit of salt, a bit of pepper?
Yeah, but doesn't mash that well.
It doesn't bond.
Yeah, pumpkin mashes.
Yeah.
Potato mashes really well, but carrot, I don't know. I can't seem to master it, but I do love. I can remember the first time I had honey carrots because I grew up in the 70s. Mum would just boil the crap out of carrots, and you saw it on the plate next to the broccoli and the peas. Like,
you were going, can I just flick these off the plate somehow?
And I went around to Edwina Thompson's house, a girl, one of my friends, in what would have been maybe high school or uni, and she or her mum cooked honey carrots. Man, I'd never had them before. I was blown away.
Press the siren for repeating of anecdote, because I think I'm going to tell the story when I was working at the Logies, because I used to be a function waiter at the Logies, at the Melbourne Hilton, and I lied about being able to do silver service, and I had to serve sliced carrots. And I remember getting round to Gary McDonald, who was huge at that time, still is, with Gary Norman Gunston.
Norman Gunston.
And I went to give him, silver service style, some sliced carrots, and it took off like a hubcap. It just rolled across the table like a hubcap down the down the road. And everyone stopped and just watched it roll across the table. Then Gary McDonald got out of his seat and said, "You need all the room you can get." And I think from that point, rather than silver surface, I just scraped the carrots onto his plate. horses like carrots, don't they?
Yeah. Horses, rabbits.
Rabbits, but what? Guinea pigs. Yeah.
Guinea pigs.
Bit of roughage. Yeah.
They just seem to be one of those stable things, aren't they? We would not eat carrots. Well, probably they're good just to cut up for the kids because they're kind of sweet carrots.
Because there is that thing now where you go and you'll have your sliced bit of carrot, a bit of celery. What else do you have?
You can have some beans. You can have some cucumber.
Yeah, and then there's all the dips. There's the hummus, and then there's the avocado, and then there's.
But I can tell you. Carrot goes first in my house. Carrot always goes first. It's almost more popular than celery.
You know why? Here for mine is why I am the same, because it's a firm commitment to the dip. because a bit of celery can not necessarily – well, celery's good because it's got that place where you can put the dip in. It's a holding vessel. But carrot, it commands. It just goes, I'm in control here. It just goes, you want a bit of – and it sits there. It clings to the end. Now, the only problem is you dip, you eat. So that means you've got to eat the rest of the carrot because you can't double dip, obviously.
Yes.
So you have to commit. And then I find
what about this? What about this move, Glenn? Yeah. What about this move? Stick one end of the carrot in, eat that, then swing the other end around and stick that in.
But you've touched it, haven't you?
Oh, this is what I do at my house. I know I wouldn't do it at a party, but because I'm at home and the kids are like, ugh. I'm like, well, it's not really double dipping, is it? Because
I think. Yeah.
Is that double dipping?
It would have to be. You've touched it. You've given it a good old go on the other end, hanging on.
Yeah. The other end hasn't been in my mouth, you know what I'm saying? So
now we're getting graphic and it's putting images in my head. I don't really want to. Beta carotene, what's that? That's what carrots. I think that's what carrots have got in them.
Oh, yeah.
Beta carotene, which is what makes them. Is that what is the orange bit?
Maybe. Well, they always used to say it makes you see in the dark. That was the.
That's a myth, though, isn't it?
That's a myth, yeah. As someone once said, if carrots make you see in the dark, why do we see so many rabbits on the road? Dead rabbits. I don't know who said that. It's a good observation.
It's a very good observation. Anyway. The only thing I will say about carrots, mm-hmm. and we can move on, is that your carrot is the first one to show itself as maybe being a bit old. It's floppy, especially the baby.
Yes.
It does go floppy. Whereas a potato, you can't quite tell. A pumpkin, sort of stays there. But carrots, you go, carrots and celery, you go, you're gone. You're out of here.
Yeah.
You know, as we said the other day, they're probably up the back of the tray in the fridge. And you're going, no, you're out of here, buddy. Because you pick them up and you can do the flop test. You're bending halfway. You're out of here, you know. But probably if you bit into them, they wouldn't be too bad. But they're a bit floppy and soft.
Well,
you know?
The floppy ones I would just use in cooking, like you know. And also sometimes with vegetables, if you put them in water, they get rejuvenated. Sometimes certainly works with lettuce and stuff like that. You put them in a bit of water, and it gets a bit of rejuvenation. They have a second life.
But you can't dip with a floppy one. There's no dipping with a floppy one. Hey, Dad, what? Your carrot's floppy. Stop dipping it. You know,
you need erect carrot, Glenn. Give us an erect carrot.
That's all we can say. The only other thing is, did you say you had carrot soup?
I've had carrot soup. Nice.
Is it? I've never had it.
Yeah, I've had it. I've had mashed carrots, but I've had carrot soup in the past. Yeah, it's nice. But I think you use. God, it's been a long time since I had carrot soup, but I don't mind. It's kind of sweet.
Yeah, I wouldn't be eating carrot soup. Oh, look, I am maybe. No, I want to be with something, maybe carrot and, you know, carrot
pumpkin,
and.
Pumpkin. Carrot and pumpkin. Yeah. And orange. And orange soup.
Mm.
Orange soup. Let's talk about Holland. You been to Holland?
No. You would have been there.
Yeah, whatever.
A lot of bikes, hey? A lot of bikes, a lot of tulips.
I only went there for one day because we were at a stopover and Kieran didn't want to leave the airport. I'm like, we're here for 8 hours. Fuck, I'm going to Amsterdam. Because the airport's quite close.
Yeah.
So she came with me, but she did remind me the other day that she was panicking the whole time. But
about what?
Well, about missing the plane or, you know, if there's some
8 hours?
I know. Look, I loved it. We had lunch and stuff and all the canals. And yeah, everyone rides the bikes. But the thing about the bikes, well, this was a long time ago, 20 years ago. The bikes they're all very basic because they leave them unlocked because no one wants to nick them because they're all the same.
So in other words, So they're not like in Melbourne where you just leave them and then someone else takes them. Ones that are owned are basic.
Yeah, yeah, they're all just very functional.
Right,
but they're all their own. It's not like a hiring situation. Might have a government system where you can borrow a bike, but people own their own bikes, but they are all very sort of similar and basic looking. Real working sort of, because it's so flat, you don't need all those gears that we have here. I wanted to go to Anne Frank's house because that's...
Was that in Amsterdam?
Amsterdam, yeah.
So it's upstairs, isn't it? You've got to go...
It's in the attic, Glenn. It wasn't in the basement.
Didn't you?
She was hiding.
I thought she was in a cupboard.
In the attic. Well, it's like a part of a roof kind of thing. And I loved that book when I was a kid.
I saw the play. I loved it. Absolutely.
Oh, you saw the play. Did you see the one with, I don't know if this is an urban myth, they did a musical maybe of it in New York, and it was so bad when the Nazi soldiers came in, everyone in the audience yelled out, "She's in the attic."
That's anecdote alert button there, because you told that joke a couple of weeks ago, but worth telling again because it's on topic. No, I saw it. I saw it. The Diary of Anne Frank was one of the first books I ever read for school, and it was the very first play I ever saw in my life. I saw it in a small theatre in North Melbourne, and it was an upstairs theatre. And I remember seeing it, and then when I heard the troops, you know, marching into town, I could swear they were coming down Flemington Road. Seriously, I went outside and I was scared of the German troops. I was only 16 at the time.
Really?
No, 27 I was. No, I saw that when I was about 10, and it was that made me want to go into the theatre. Oh, well.
Not join the army? No? The greatest thing I've ever read about all that, because you know Anne Frank's diary was censored. And then they put out a version with racier bits in it because she had all these thoughts about men or a little bit sexual, and they cut all those bits out, and then they found them and they put them back in a version you can get now, which as a 16-year-old, you would have preferred to read that version, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It would have been much more exciting.
Anne Frank uncut. I mean, it's a, you know.
But something that made me laugh a lot was Justin Bieber visited Anne Frank's house because it's like a museum now.
There's a contrast for you. Okay. What two things are not like the other? Yeah, go on.
And someone took a photo of what he wrote in the guest book. You can write comments and he wrote. He wrote, and this is true. I've seen the photo. Well, it was on the internet. It said, "If Anne was alive today, I'd like to think that she'd be a believer."
No. Well, you know, I dare say there's a lot of boring comments about fascinating historical place, blah, 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 blah.
That's Justin Bieber.
He's brought it back to himself. You know, that's very clever.
The thing about Holland is that where I grew up in the outer east of Melbourne, we had a lot of Dutch near us. Because when I think of the girls I hung out with, there were a lot of Dutchies because they all loved the mountains. They loved the Dandenongs, which are just on the edge of Melbourne. And because they loved all the mountains, which they didn't have in Holland. And so I'm thinking, I'll give you the girls' names. I went out with a girl called Francine Eccleshot, and she was friends with Miriam van der Graaf. Then there was Emily van der Graaf. There was Kristen Dijk. There was another friend called Saskia de Jong.
Let me ask you this question. Were their dads, did you meet the dads?
Yes.
Were the dads tall?
Yes. Oh, Kate Langbrook. Look at Kate Langbrook. Her dad's Dutch.
Because Dutch are notoriously tall people.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
And their dad's tall, yeah.
The dads were a bit quirky.
I love the Dutch accent. I can't do it very well, but I love it.
Do it.
I just tried to do it then. I don't want to go because I could paint myself into a corner. Mark Mitchell does a very funny Dutch.
The good Dutch.
He does Dutch very well, yes.
Oh, the Dutch. Yeah. They're quirky people. Like Saskia de Jong, she used to maintain that if you drive into the Dandenongs and you see something quirky in the front yard, like a windmill or a letterbox made out of shells, that will be a Dutch man has made that. There's always a Dutch man.
They were bringing something to the table, bit of fun. Yeah.
They were great fun to hang out with, the Dutch girls, though. They were good fun. The Dutch, they know how to party.
There's a joke there about, I don't want to say it, but isn't there a dyke joke?
Yes.
Sorry.
You're in the
dyke. So you fill it. You do the rest at home.
I remember going to Emily van der Graaf's house for a party.
Oh, you're painting. Let me have a crack at Emily. Blonde hair?
No, brown.
Oh, okay. Brown she hair. Was Emily had a good sense of humour.
Good, yeah, but quite serious. Emily.
You completely wrong. Okay.
She had a friend. She had a friend out, maybe a cousin who was like a proper Dutch person. Because all these girls I was talking about, they all grew up in Australia with Dutch parents.
Mm.
But Emily had her cousin out who was like she had blonde hair, really blonde Dutch. Mm. Dutch. I can't remember her name. But anyway, at the party, we're all standing around, and Emily had this big glass bowl filled of licorice, right?
Mm.
And I'm being, you know, fat and everything. I'm like, oh, I'm going to stick my hand and grab some. And then the cousin goes, David, you'll know what sort of licorice that is? I'm like, yeah, cool. I love licorice. And it was Dutch licorice. Have you ever had Dutch licorice?
No, I've heard it's very popular there.
Oh, yeah, but have you ever eaten it?
Does it make you go to the toilet?
No, it's salty. It's like, oh. I had to spit it out. It was like the Dutch people thought it was hilarious. But yeah, if you go to like a specialty shop, you'll see some Dutch licorice. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's on topic, but you know, it's very good for your. Okay, I'm going to say it. It's very good for your bowel movements.
Your bowels. Yeah, because licorice is.
Because it makes it smooth FM.
I love licorice.
Yeah, whenever I hear it. I think they have that another. We better not be defamatory about
smooth.
FM. Yeah. Whenever I hear them say smooth, I always think of eating licorice. But anyway, enough of that. I'll put that image into people's heads and it's never going to go away.
Maybe they're going to do as a promo, like eating licorice on a Saturday.
Now, let me ask
night.
You this. Smooth. When you went around to their house, did any one of them have clogs or did any of the girls have ponytails?
Yeah.
Did dad wear clogs? They wore clogs. Yeah.
There were clogs.
There were clogs.
Definitely at Francis Eccleshott's, they had some clogs. You know what?
It would have made a lot of noise when they were walking
around. Maybe they were just for walking around the house or something. But people these days wear, you know, what are they called? Not Birkenstocks. Well, they're sort of Dutch, but they're also the other ones. What are the ones? Crocs. They're like a form of a clog, you got to say. Really?
Really?
Don't you reckon a croc?
They're plastic and they're bogan, aren't they?
Yeah.
I reckon they just had the clogs there and they heard you coming. Quick, put the clogs on. Dave's coming around. We've got to keep up the image.
The clogs
on. And they had ponytails?
Yeah, a lot of ponytails, a lot of braided hair, like Viking kind of looking.
And was there, did they wear dresses that were in any way sort of faithful to the national image?
Well, there was always photos on the mantelpiece of the family in traditional dress for some of these girls. Some of them were more traditional than others. Do you want me to rank the girls I've mentioned how attractive they were?
No, but I'm just trying to paint a picture. If you went round to their house, you were stepping into another world. I mean, if you go around to a Greek person's house, you get a whole, especially in Australia and in Melbourne, as we grew up, we had many, it was very multicultural.
Very true.
So therefore, you could step into another part of the world, which, you know,
that's
which
true, because the parents came in their 20s or whatever, or when they were teenagers. And they get a bit homesick too, so they like to create a bit of that. They have some Dutch stuff and Dutch food.
Yep.
Similar to, we had Italians across the road and they would have, you go into their house, it's like a bit of a mini Italy in there because they're trying to recreate what they had back at home. That's fair. We do the same. If we were living somewhere.
Yeah.
You come into my house, I have an esky, some thongs, bit of...
But you'd have a backyard cricket set up. You'd go to
the Russell
Coit
and repeat on the screen.
Yeah, that's exactly right, you know.
Jimmy Barnes playing.
What else?
Because
you
know, I've had friends move to England, and you go and visit them, and they've become more Aussie. You know, they're like,
oh yeah, I know.
Oh, right into the footy. We go to this pub. Yeah. You weren't even into footy. Oh no, I love it now.
You hear Australians overseas, and they really turn the accent on. You know, they really do. I mean, but you look at Melbourne, especially. You see, but they've brought England to Melbourne with the architecture. That you know, and other parts of Australia as well. It's very. They just bring what they know. So you know. Anyway, what was going to say? Things that we haven't. I went and saw the Dutch Masters, the exhibition, which was Van Gogh. Hang on.
I thought you were going to talk about golf again.
It was fantastic. It was really good. I mean, I always find it weird when you line up with a lot of people looking at little paintings. You just go, this is something's not quite right here. A lot of people, one little painting, can't get close. But what I did see was magnificent. I'm just trying to remember. Van Gogh is Dutch, is he not? I think he is. Rembrandt, he's Dutch, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Hey, how many paintings did Van Gogh sell when he was alive?
Yeah, funny you should say that. I was doing, being COVID, I was doing a little online trivia. I got a trivia app, and it was a multiple choice, and I got it right. I think it was one.
One.
Yeah.
And you know, who was his manager? His brother. So that'd be Phil, who we've mentioned, managing you, who he's moved from appliance fixing, or my brother Mark. They come and imagine having your brother managing you and only selling one painting. No,
his brother comes round and Van Gogh comes down and goes, hey, Phil, how are the paintings going? Look, it's all, don't worry, but I reckon I've got this inkling that you're going to, am I going to be a master? No, you're not going to be a master. Don't get too carried away. You're not going to be, no. But if we could get, say, you know, a few dollars for each one, we could do okay.
So don't go buying. Cutting my ear off. Is that a good idea? Cut my ear off?
That'd be ridiculous. No. And, you know, and to be painting. Honest with you, Vanny, he'd call him Vanny. Some of your paintings aren't very, you know, accurate. You know, look at Rembrandt. He's doing those portraits. They're bloody good. Yeah, bloody good.
Daisies you know, and fields
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, and you know, be a little bit more appropriate, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Dutch. Well, should we have some thinking music?
What's the what is the music they play when you hear windmills? What's that music? What's piano accordions? That's not Dutch. That's I'm just trying to think. What's Dutch?
I don't really know Dutch music. I just what about a character? What about you know? You was talking about Dutch accents. There's one in Mike Myers. Is it Austin Powers? He does a Dutch man.
I think his dad is Dutch. Austin Powers' father. I don't remember a particular scene, but I think I think his father is Dutch, and they do scene. I think Mike Myers does it, and everyone else is in the room at the same time. I think there's all the different characters in the room, and there's Sam. Can you find a scene with I don't know what his name is, but he's Dutch and he's Austin Powers' father? We'd love to hear it.
The very sexual, the very toit. Austin Powers' Faja.
His what?
His Faja, Dr. Evil.
His Ferger? What's a Ferger?
His Faja.
Gold member, I don't speak freaky deaky Dutch. Okay, perv boy?
Faja, his dad. Dad is Faja. Oh, his dad. Oh, his father. Yes, I have a Dutch accent. Isn't that weird?
Ah, oh, so funny. I love Mike Myers. He's so funny.
He's good. He's so good. He hasn't done anything for a while. No. He had his last film didn't do well.
But The Guru.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
And I'm not sure. I heard an interview with him not so long ago. It was fascinating. Just he's Canadian, is he not? Is he Canadian? Yes. Yeah. His sensibility has got that nice blend of American English, British.
Yeah. I heard him on a podcast and he just said nowadays he had kids quite late.
He
must be around my age or a little bit older even. He must be in his 50s, mid 50s. And he just said, now I just try and make my kids laugh every day.
Yeah.
So. But he surely he'd have more films in him because they were such big hits. Wayne's World, Austin Powers.
Yeah, what were great films. Wayne's World, really fantastic.
I love Wayne's World.
Okay, have a crack. Hold on.
Well, you know what? It's got something. Look, I don't know. It's got something to do with. All I know, when I think of Holland, I think of the colour orange. Because I don't know if it's on their flag, but that's what their soccer team and whatever wear. They love the colour orange. It's their national colour, I believe, and it's got. I'll just say that's got some. I don't know what it is, but it's got something to do with carrots. Oh, carrots is their national vegetable. That's what I'm going to say. Yeah.
Do other countries? Can you have a national vegetable?
Well, you know, like the Welsh have the leek.
Oh, okay, no, I take it back. No, good point. Yeah. Good point.
And what do we have? We have the.
Okay, I'm going to say, because the Netherlands, Holland is part of the Netherlands. Yeah.
Same thing,
isn't it? Yeah. I'm going to just say, I don't know why, but I'm going to say that they were invaded for their carrots because there's something about the way they grow their carrots that is very special, and there was a war over, maybe there's some sort of border thing over their carrots and all the carrots.
Well,
are you gone?
A war over carrots, yeah, believe that. Well, you know, Kate Lambrook's dad, he was in his 80s, he remembers when the Nazis marched into his town.
Oh, and, what?
Yeah, and Kate goes, what were they like? And he goes, yeah, they were like, they gave us chocolates.
Isn't it great to actually speak to someone or hear a story about someone who has done something incredible? Alex's mother... used to be Alex, friend of the show. His mum used to be did a bit of modelling, and she met Cary Grant. And I think she said Cary Grant asked her out. How's that?
Wow!
Isn't what a great thing? You go, you actually met Cary Grant. Oh,
yeah, but you serve carrots to Gary McDonald.
God, callback, beautiful.
And I fix my oven, so whatever.
Yeah, there you go. The door that falls off. Can you take a photo of your door that's fallen off? Is it back on now? Is it?
It's back on.
I'm happy.
I said even Kieran was impressed. I fixed the door. So impressed.
Okay.
What is the answer, Sam?
In the 17th century, Dutch growers cultivated orange carrots as a tribute to William of Orange, who led the struggle for Dutch independence, and the colour stuck.
What? So you're telling me the carrots can be in other colours? They were originally another colour?
Yes, Glenn. Orange may be their best known colour, but carrots also come in purple, yellow, red, and white.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
I didn't think of this, but when I go to the farmer's market, which I haven't been for a while, and there's a guy called Dave, man. He's a classic organic farmer, Glenn. He's got the long hair, and he's so funny. He has carrots, and he goes on about these are the original characters. He's hilarious. He's slightly one of those sort of organic hippie types who's slightly aggressive. Yeah. So I've seen him hold up lettuce and go, iceberg lettuce. Who said we can't grow iceberg lettuce? Yeah. He's not really talking to anyone. He's just saying it.
That's good, though. See, I find that appealing. Yeah.
Hey, iceberg lettuce.
Iceberg lettuce. What's that all about? Yeah.
But he has purple carrots, and I've bought them before, purple, yellow carrots. And so orange was according to Sam, it was a colour created by the Dutch farmers. That is fascinating.
What do you do that thing?
Genetically modified.
Yeah. So they...
How do you breed carrots, though?
How do they make them go from purple to orange?
I know. It's not like putting a horse in a paddock with another horse, is it? It's like...
And then you get a donkey. It's like a donkey. A mule and a horse or something. I don't know.
That's great.
That's very interesting. I'm going to say, though... If you were to, you know, because Dave's having a barbecue and he puts out, first of all, puts out his little tray and he puts some funny coloured carrots out for dipping, I'm telling you, they're not going because they're so tuned into the orange carrot. They're not touching them, are they? They go, what's
even
that?
Even kids especially, I've put them out and I've said, they're carrots. What? Mm. No, they're actual carrots. They're purple carrots. Mm. What? So, yeah, they prefer orange ones. Yeah, oranges, man, they've just nailed. It's funny, isn't it? Orange has nailed pumpkin and carrots. They nailed it. Mm. Absolutely.
Hey, here's something. Do you remember Mr. Potato Head?
Yeah, I love Mr. Potato Head.
Do you remember the how did the song go first? He's a little thin and a pretty thin. Put his shiny shoes on and see her straight in his hands. Enough for him to smile with the nose and eyes of blue. Little Mr. Potato Head has come to play with you. And what was his wife's name?
Oh, not Thingo Carrot? Was it a carrot?
Was it Katie Carrot?
Katie Carrot! Hey, that's interspecies marriage. It's a bit weird, isn't it? A carrot and a potato getting together.
That's what I'm wondering, what's happened. Yeah. That's their baby. Maybe Katie Carrot. No, okay. But Katie Carrot in the toy world, where was her face? The top of the... And she had the... I can't remember.
Up near the green bit, and the green bit was the hair.
It was never a hit, was it, Katie Carrot?
Nah.
It was Mr. Potato Head, that big head, the big hands. Mr. Potato, see, in Toy Story, I think Mr. Potato Head was in Toy Story.
Yes.
But was Katie Carrot in Toy Story?
No.
No, I don't think so.
No.
So, you know, of all the vegetables, unfortunately, Katie Carrot, you're not...
And what about the often not mentioned cousin, Zolko Zucchini, never mentioned?
Oh, that's the embarrassing cousin that people don't talk about, you know. If you were a vegetable and you didn't get a gig in that, I mean, you'd be pretty disappointed. What else could you turn? But Pumpkin was never anything, Mr. Pumpkinhead. I mean, do you call someone Pumpkinhead? You do, don't you? That's
Peter Pumpkinhead.
Peter Pumpkineater? What was that?
Pumpkinhead. You call Peter Pumpkinhead. Peter Pumpkinator was like a poem, I think, like a nursery rhyme. But you never call anyone a carrot. Hey, you stupid carrot.
No, you don't call someone a carrot.
We've got to bring that back. We'll introduce it right now. Hey, flaming carrot. Hey. Why is he a carrot? Because he's stuck in the ground. I don't know.
I've been Dave O'Neill. Thanks very much. Good night.
Yeah. I've been Mark. You've been Phil. See you later.
See ya.